So, rather than just do some new teaching, I would like to remind you of a few things that are written in the Bible. Is that okay? Let's just do a little remembrance here. So how many of you say that you're Christians? Just about everybody? Okay, good. And you out there? Good. So I would just like to remind you of some things, because it's very simple in this world that we're in to kind of drift a little bit. And sometimes we just need to sharpen our pencil and shake our pen and get ready to write some more down, you know? And so we're just going to stir ourselves up today in who we are in Christ. Is that all right with you? So let's just do that. So go with me to 1 John 4:17. That's towards the back of your Bible. First John 4:17. So John, you know, he's a disciple whom Jesus loved. He wrote that, of course. He really has a revelation on the love of God. John truly has a revelation on the Son of God, on who he is in Christ and how much Jesus loves us. He has that revelation. Peter is the one that puts his foot in his mouth and goes for it. He just jumps, you know, he just does it. He just gets out there. But John's the one that really took the time to just be close to Jesus. And this is something that John writes in the 1 John. It says, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And we need to just stir ourselves up and remind ourselves of that. Again, this is a gift from God. We have been made brand new and become spiritual, not because we're all that and a bag of chips, not because we've done some magical thing, or we've recited something just right, or we lived a life perfect, crossing every T and dotting every I. No, it is a gift of God. All of us have fallen short. We have all blown it. We've all thought of ourselves as less than who Christ made us to be. We've all walked through that. But he said, because of the work that he did, we are like him. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. And that's important, because this world is the key part. So how is he right now? How's Jesus right now? He's in heaven, seated in heavenly places, right? He's above principalities and powers. He's above all authority. There's nothing that can be named that is above him. There's nothing for him to aspire to. He is the end-all, be-all. And as he is there, that's the same way we are here. So that takes a little renewing our mind and a little stirring ourselves up. Because like it says here, that in the day of judgment, we'll have boldness. When we go before him, we will have boldness. And not because of all of that, because love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So that means that he perfected love in us. Whoa! He perfected love in us so that we can have boldness when we stand before him in the judgment. So who perfects the love in you and me? Jesus did it, past tense. So that doesn't mean I need to learn how to get love. That doesn't mean that I need to be more loving now. Now I need to, I gotta make sure that I'm more loving now. No, he perfected it in us. We just need to allow it to be so by renewing our minds that this is true. And I'll tell you, this is a work of the devil to think that somehow you're falling short. We are not falling short. We are his first choice. We are not plan B. We are plan A. And he deliberately chose each one of us and prepared us for such a time as this. He knew you. He created you deliberately intentionally for right now on the planet. You are in your perfect place. And the world would like you to believe that's not true. You're going without something. You're not good enough. You haven't done it yet, whatever it is. And that is a lie. So let me ask you this. It's going to stretch your brains just a little bit here. How come you're getting older? Why is this body of yours getting older? What creates age? Time. Good answer. What creates time? I know God created time. Let's drop it down a notch, okay? What makes time? The Earth rotation around the sun, okay? We revolve around the sun and we rotate on our axis. So day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Every day and night, night and day is time. And so time is based on the rotation of the Earth, yes or no? Okay, so then time only affects your physical body. Yes? So the invisible person inside of you, the one that you talk to, that only you can hear you talking to you, is that person affected by time? No. So who is that person? That's the only person that's going to be in heaven, is the invisible one inside of you that you talk to. You that you call me, or I, however you, whatever the right English term is. So if God is above everything, everything that's been created, and you're with him in heavenly places, then you are actually outside of time. You yourself are outside of time. I'm stretching you right here, you guys. But there's for a point. So if you yourself are outside of time, then this body that is affected by time, by sickness and disease, by temperature, by hunger, by sleep, by all of these things, are you that? No. You're not that. Do you have authority over that? Did God give you authority over it? Yes, he did. And sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we start looking at the world as if we are our body, instead of that we are in a body while we're on this world. But when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? What happened the split second his physical body stopped on the earth? He was resurrected. Matthew says he was resurrected off the cross. And then he went, when he was resurrected off the cross, then he went about doing some other work for the kingdom of God, right? And then after 3 days of being outside of his physical flesh, alive and well, doing well, the same kind of person that you actually are inside of this flesh right now, he was that same person on the cross that left his body resurrected off of the cross. That person went back into his body and raised that body up, right? As a new body. And that's that same awakening that we have hoped for in the future, right? That our lowly bodies would be transformed as his heavenly body. Yes? You guys with me? So isn't that our hope, that this body is going to be transformed? Okay. So your body is important and you're important. But you are not your body. So we need to really get that. So then who are we if we're not our body? And what type of being are we? What do we have? What's available to us? Who are we in what we call the Spirit? Because it's by the Spirit that we get everything from God. You guys know that, right? It says that let's just go there. I am so sorry, Mary. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me look real quick. While I'm looking real quick, I'd like you to think about some verses that you know off of the top of your head, because I'm going to have you shout them out, of who you are now that you are a new creation in Christ. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to start right in the middle of this at verse 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God is talking about that these things, well, I have to start in verse 10. I'm sorry, Mary, verse 10. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Did I read that verse? I did read it. Okay. She'll catch up to me. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So in other words, it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard in verse 9, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So they're past finding out. No one can know them in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But in verse 10, he says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So through the Spirit of God into your spirit, God reveals everything he's going to show you. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Nobody knows you. Only your spirit knows you. None of us can know you the way your spirit knows you. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That we may know the things that have been freely, that means easily and plentifully given to us by God. He doesn't hold back at all. He'll give you whatever delights you. Really. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you what? The desires of your heart. So if you enjoy yourself in him, there's no limit to what he'll give to you. It says in one place that he's given us all things richly to enjoy. Really? But we're not talking about your corrupted flesh person. We're talking about your spirit person who walks in a flesh body on the earth. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it starts out by saying that there's things of God that are past finding out. There's no way you can know them. But he says, no, that's how it used to be. But since Jesus resurrected and we raised with him, and as he is, so are we in this world. We can know them also, because now it's spirit to spirit. They're spiritually discerned, and he gives it to us by the Spirit. So you who are not in time, who are outside of time, are also, just as God is, so are you. So in your spiritual person, there's no limit to the power of God. Holy smokes, can I actually say that? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So in chapter 2, we're talking about Jesus here, about Christ, and he's talking about philosophies and the things of this world. They're going to try to get you to believe those things, but it's about Christ himself. So in verse 9, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. That means the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Wow. And then it goes right on to say, and you are what? Complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. So the fullness of God fills Jesus bodily. And so you are complete in him. Holy smokes, that means you're not going without anything. That means there's nothing being withheld from you. There is no deficit at all. Wow, that's a renewing of our minds. That's a real identity shift right there, boy. To really actually believe God that as he is, so am I while I'm walking on this planet, that I am immortal, we'll say. I don't like that word. It just has a weird thing. I'm everlasting. Can I say it that way? I have eternal life. That's the biblical way of saying it. I like that. So you and I have everlasting life, and we are complete in him. So everything we have is revealed by the Spirit. So your invisible person gets everything from God, and that's the real you and me. Holy Jesus, praise the Lord. Okay, here's another one. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Did I give you that one? All right. We'll go with 22, 23, and 24. So it says in 22 that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying that you need to make an identity shift, that it's no longer to live according to the corruptions of flesh, fleshly passions and desires, and who you are as a flesh person that's been trapped in this world and it's all of its trappings, but that you now put on the new man and you're created in true righteousness and holiness. So that means as we start getting an identity shift, renewing the spirit of our mind on who I am, I can relate to myself as being truly righteous and holy. That it's not about work any longer. It's not about me becoming righteous. It's not about me becoming holy. It's not about me exhibiting more love. God's perfected love in me, so that I can have boldness in the day of judgment, and that I am truly made righteous and holy. And as Claude says, I am complete in him. Yes? And so now it's a matter of experiencing these things, because the way that we're created, we need to like experience stuff to call it real. Now it's real in the spirit, but just the way it is in this world, we don't call it real till it happens here. So when it happens in your body, that's when so many of us call it real. But you actually live in the Spirit. Stay in Colossians and just go up a little. Oh, we're in Ephesians. Okay, go backwards in Ephesians, one page. And look in chapter 2. So look at chapter 2 and this is verse 4 through 6. I'll go to 8. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us, he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So in other words, he's saying that he did this. He raised us up. He gave us life. He sat us in heavenly places so that in all the ages to come, it shows the goodness of God. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the power to do it. And he did it as a gift for you and me. He made us this way. He gave it as a gift. He made us righteous and holy. He made us complete. He perfected love in us. He did it, right? And so then the whole matter is that now I'm wrestling in myself. Pastor Robert, you're telling me that I'm all these things, but yet when I walk out of this room, I get bombarded with these feelings and memories and thoughts and all this stuff where I don't feel like I'm that. And I feel like I need to do something or be something different. I need to have something added to me somehow, or I need to accomplish something before God is going to be pleased with me. Go to Hebrews. I just want to stir you up and just remind you of these things. Chapter 9. You guys get a lot of practice in your Bibles today. Those pages are not going to be stuck together, that's for sure. Hebrews chapter 9. He's talking about the heavenly sanctuary in verse 11 of chapter 9. And he talks about that the blood of goats and calves weren't eight. Let me just read it then. Verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That means that you cannot pay for your sins or shortcoming. You don't have the power to make it right. You don't. You can't make it right. He made it right. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? You are not flawed in the eyes of God. You are not a sinner in the eyes of God. You are not guilty in the eyes of God. You are not inferior in the eyes of God. You are perfect, complete, lacking nothing, James says. That you already have obtained everything from God, and he did it so that he can show himself mighty for all generations to come. Wow. 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 So what do I do? I have to do something, right? There's got to be something that I do, right? Truly, it can't just be that easy. I've got to do something to please God. I have got to do something to show that I love him. I've got to do something to prove it somehow, right? to get him to acknowledge me that I'm a good son. That I got to do something so that when I get in heaven, he'll say, good work, you faithful son of God. Don't I have to do something?
No.
No? Are you sure, Angel?
I'm sure.
She's pretty sure. No, you don't. He did it. He equipped us. He filled us. He positioned us. He called us. He deliberately chose us. And there's nothing we can do to wreck it. How about that? And because of that, we can be who he made us to be. When we really get it, go to Hebrews chapter 6. No, stay here. Go to Hebrews 11. It's just on the other page. Just stay here in Hebrews 11. So in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. What's faith, you guys? Yes, verse 1. Let's back up to verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Can you see that you're perfect and complete, lacking nothing? No. Can you see that you're anointed? No. Can you see that you are truly righteous and holy? No. We've got to believe it by faith. We've got to accept this truth by faith, that he seated us in heavenly places, that he made us a citizen of heaven, that he's done this, and he did it all. And so we just receive it. Look what it says in verse 6 if we go back. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, look at this, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards us. So that's how you renew your mind. That's how you renew your spirit. That's how you reshape your identity, is by coming to the Lord, is by spending time with your Heavenly Father, by spending time with the Holy Spirit, by walking with them, you be changed. You get to experience what it's like to be like them. Sounds like something in the Bible. Where might it say that in the Bible? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18? Ready? 2 Corinthians, for those of you that have the same Bible as me, it's page 1016. I'd be curious if anybody has it on page 1016. All right. Verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So in this chapter right here, starts in verse 7 and works down, it's talking about that Moses was in the physical presence of God and the glory got on Moses' skin and he knew the presence of God and he glowed, and that everybody that was around there would see the way he glowed and shined from the presence of God. They saw the reverent holiness of God on this man, and therefore he was exalted. And as he was exalted in their eyes by this glory, they put a veil over him so that nobody can see that glory dissipating, right? And so as that happened, This chapter in Corinthians is saying that we have an even greater glory because the glory that we've been given is on the inside of us by the Spirit of God. And so this glory that we've been given comes to us when we turn to the Lord. When we turn our attention to the Lord, then the veil is removed. That veil that Moses was wearing over his face, shining the glory. When we turn to the Lord, that veil's removed. In another place in Hebrews, it says when Jesus was on the cross, that his flesh was the veil, that it was removed so that we can come into the presence of God. We'll go there in a second if you need to. So then what happened is that when Moses' veil was removed and they can see the glory of God, when you and I turn to Christ, that veil is removed. And when it's removed, we can look in a mirror and see that glory of God on us as us. And that glory of God as us is in us. And we're changed from a glory of a man or a woman into the glory of the Son of God. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God. By being in fellowship, it comes off the Spirit of God. Just like when Moses was in the presence of God, it came off of God onto his skin. In the Spirit, when we're joining in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's glory fills our spirit that's going to eventually shine out of our bodies. And that glory you carry. Like I said in Romans, it says that this treasure is in an earthen vessel. You are that treasure. You are that glory. You are that Spirit of God. You are the Son and Daughter of God. You are anointed. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. Go towards the end of your Bible again. Look at this. I think Bruce was telling me about this verse the other day that he's been praying this. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. Verse 20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Wow. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27 says, "But the anointing which you have received from Him, God, abides in you." That means it's inside of you. And you do not need that anyone should teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So in other words, God is saying that this anointing by the Holy Spirit is in you. It's who you are. And all the things that the enemy would like you to believe about yourself that is separate than that has been a device of the devil to enslave you in darkness. You are complete in Him. You are holy. You are righteous. You are anointed. Love has been perfected in you. You have been seated in heavenly places. You've been seated above all principalities and powers in Christ Jesus, above time, space, dimensions. You are above it all. You are so much more than anything in this world would ever allow you to believe. You are. There's nothing that's impossible for the ones of us who really take the time to believe. There's nothing impossible for you. You actually have the power and person of God in true righteousness and holy living with you in your spirit. That you've been joined to the Lord and you're one spirit with the Lord. It says that in 1 Corinthians 6:17. And you're joined to the Lord, one spirit with Him. And you've been given an anointing. You have been given the same power that Christ Jesus has by the Spirit of God, who is that power. and he withholds nothing from you. He freely gives it to you, he said. Freely. It's a matter of us spending time with him, coming into his presence, so that it can really become a reality for us. Look what it says in 1 John. Are you in 1 John still? My Bible's open to 1 John. So in 1 John, if you'll go to chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Wait a minute. Whatever we ask, we receive from him? Yes. If you have confidence towards him and your heart's not condemning you, you absolutely have everything. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So I used to think, oh, doing God's commandments, oh gosh, oh, how laborious, how hard, I've got to follow a bunch of rules, oh Lord. Well, it's a little different in the spirit. Jump over one chapter to chapter 5. And let's look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Wow. So, for your brain to think that, oh, if I'm keeping his commandments or not, I'm falling short, stop that right now. His commandments are not hard. They don't load you down. They don't weigh you down. They're not burdensome at all. His commandments are simply this. Listen, I've perfected loving you. Love people. Just love them. That's it. Then you've fulfilled all the commandments. Love people. God is what? God is love. And as he is, so are you in this world. You are love. He's perfected it in you. So that you can have boldness on the day of judgment. You have been perfected in it. And therefore, there's nothing that will be withheld from you. It's a matter of renewing the spirit of our mind and really allowing the truth of who we are to sink in and stop looking for evidence and just allow it to be true. Because as you believe him and you seek your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you seek him, you become more like him. The revelation of that will hit you. It's all true, but the revelation of it will start hitting you. And the glory of his presence will start transforming you. And you'll start becoming different on the inside. Sure, we can read the words that they're true, but experientially we have to start getting it as true. So as we come in the presence of God and we get into his presence and his presence starts transforming us and changing us to be like him off of his spirit, then the inside and the outside of us come into agreement. Our mind and our heart come into agreement. Because now experientially, we're experiencing the fullness of God in us. Are you with me? Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 24. I'll go to 25. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Amen. He is so good. Do you know what? You know, this is just a side note. He put Abraham to sleep when he made a covenant with Abraham, right? Amen. So he wasn't even conscious of the covenant. Do you know that many of us are not even conscious of what God has actually given to us? I was teaching Sunday night about Jacob, and when Jacob laid his head on the rocks, and where he was in Paz, and that's where he named it Bethel there, because in his dream, he saw angels ascending and descending, ascending and descending. They were here doing the work of God, going back, getting more orders, coming back down, doing their jobs. He got to see that, and he woke up and said, I had no idea God was in this place. And you know, so many of us have no idea of what's really been given to us, how God really sees us. So often we think he's looking at us the way people look at us. People have been steeped in law. In law, there is no righteousness in law. There's no life in law. There's no freedom in law. It's to keep the corrupt from getting out of control. It's not to bring life. So he removed the law and put us in him, which gave us everlasting life. Didn't Jesus say in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy? But I've came that you may have what? And life more abundantly or super abundantly. So super abundant life resides in you as you. You are love. You are the solution to whatever is going on. You are the solution. Not in your own strength, not in your earthly mind, but it says that by his spirit talking to your spirit, you have the mind of Christ, because the spirit teaches the deep things of God to your spirit. Therefore, it's the mind of God you have right now, because you are connected to him. Are you with me? And he will reveal all these things that you saw here. That's who you are. So now it takes us to really go for it. Let me read this verses here. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. So back up. Remember when I said that through his eternal spirit, he offered himself without spot to God? Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. All dead works are thinking that you've got to do something. That's all it is. You trying to do something is a dead work. That's all it is. You need to just be led by God. Let God just lead you what to do. Let him just follow his leading, whatever it is. He's not grievous. He's very easy. It's life. It's abundant life. Wherever he's leading, it's abundant life. It's success. It's victory. It's freedom. Wherever he leads you, it's good. It's really beautiful whenever he leads you somewhere to go do something. He's right there. He wants you to succeed. He's with you. So it just let it flow. Anything you're trying to do is a dead work. And he says that he did this so he can clean your conscience, so you no longer have a consciousness of being flawed or a sinner or not rejected by God somehow. So his blood did that. It cleansed us for us. So it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In other words, we get to go into the most holy of all places confidently. Because we are not flawed or short in any way. To enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Why stir up love? It didn't say, and love. It didn't say, now love. It didn't say that. It said, stir up love. Why? Because love has already been perfected in you. Holy Jesus. We are the solution in Christ Jesus to whatever ails you, to whatever's going on around you. But you have to speak with your bold confession, having confidence that this is so, so that you come into the presence of God, that whatever you need, it's met, whatever's lacking, it's cleaned up, whatever it is transformed in that time, that you can walk absolutely fruitful, victorious, and accomplish whatever it is you're to accomplish while you're on this earth, if there's anything at all. Because you please God just the way you are. But it's up to us to renew our minds so that the darkness doesn't enslave us, so that the devil doesn't rob us, so that we don't suffer things that are below our, whatever the right word is, below our place in life, you know? Below what Christ has provided for us. There's a word for it. Station. Below your station in life. Amen? Amen. You are absolutely 100% unequivocally perfect and complete, lacking nothing in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is the truth of who you are. Everybody stand up. If you can. So, I'm going to give you a little exercise. Okay. I use this example at Abba House all the time. I call it changing the channel. When I say change the channel, do you know what I'm saying? So if we were watching a horror movie and it's getting ready, the person with the mask on and the big knife is getting ready to walk out, all of us know kind of what's coming, right? And we don't want to see that. So what do? We change the channel. And then we see Gilligan's Island or something. I'm old. That's, of course, what comes to my mind. SpongeBob. I don't know what you guys watch anymore. I don't know. You know what SpongeBob SquarePants is? Yeah. So we just need to change the channel to something that brings joy to our hearts and our minds. So when the devil gets you bogged down to where you're thinking that somehow you are falling short, you're missing it, there's something that you need that you don't have, James says that if you lack wisdom, ask God, and that he'll give you liberally wisdom, so you'll know how to handle whatever the circumstances. You'll be able to see clearly what it is to do in front of you. But don't be double-minded. You got to really know this is it. So when we change the channel, what we do is we just switch without any proof that we are exactly who God says we are. Amen. I tell you what, you start confessing that stuff and start speaking out loud, and I'll tell you, it'll change something. So I'm going to speak, and you guys repeat after me if you feel led. Amen? Amen. All right. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll speak. Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. And Lord, I thank you for reminding us who we are in you and showing us what you've given us, Lord. That, Father, that we can walk in the office that you have given to us, the calling that you have given to us, Father. You elected us. And you are perfecting us, and you have made it so to bring glory to your own name. So, Father, by faith, we speak these things into the atmosphere around us, into the heavenlies, so that the principalities and powers can know what the truth is being made manifest by the church you said, Lord. So, Father, we speak into the atmosphere who we are in Christ Jesus. Say, I am a son of God. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I am anointed.
I am
called.
I am loved.
I am forgiven.
I am
set free.
I am a son of God.
I walk in the power of God.
Lord, you said
you'd never leave me.
You'll never forsake me.
I'm one spirit with you.
So that whatever you say,
I say.
Whatever you do,
I do.
It's your good pleasure
to give me the kingdom of God.
To richly enjoy all things
brings pleasure to you.
So Lord,
I receive
your power,
your anointing,
and everything you've provided for me.
I speak against the power of the enemy.
Loose my mind.
Loose my heart.
Loose my body.
I'm free.
Holy Spirit,
burn your fire through me.
From the top of my head
to the bottom of my feet.
Burn all the wood,
the hay,
and the stubble
out of this man and woman.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
You are victorious in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.